right. You have found yourself at the Rocker Dog Podcast, the show that talks to musicians about their dogs and how great they are. I'm your host, Tim Dill, along with my canine consultant, Charlie. And today we have a highly entertaining talk with Casey, Emerson, Matt, and Alan of the self-described half psych, half prog, half rock theater band, the Toxards, who just this past Friday released a new single appropriately titled for this show called Should We Get a Dog? And these are their past and present rocker dogs.
I am Casey Donovan, the drummer of the Toxards, and this is my dog, Maisie.
Hi, I'm Alan Macchiarolo, a bassist and singer and sometimes drummer and sometimes guitarist of the Toxards, and this is my dog, Casey.
Hi, I'm Emerson. I am also a dog. I play guitar and bass and sing as well. I don't do drums, though.
Okay.
I'm Matt. I'm a guitarist pretty much exclusively. Sometimes I'll do the bass, and I like dogs. Dogs are good.
Excellent. I know there's more than Maisie, so is there three other dogs?
So currently there's no dogs between the other three, but I have two. Maisie's our social dog, and I have another dog named Archer, who's a pit bull chihuahua mix. Wrap your head around that one. But he's a pit bull chihuahua mix, and he's a little he's a little more reactive around like other dogs and people. So he's very selective with his friends. So he's sort of behind the scenes. But Maisie's the face of the operation.
Okay. And how old is Maisie?
Maisie is 7.
And how old is Archer?
He is also 7.
Oh, okay. Now, what was the context of getting those two dogs?
So I was in college, and I finally moved off campus to a house with a backyard, and I was like, you know, I want a dog.
I remember that house.
I was like,
so well.
It was such a good house. But we were down in Orange, California, at Chapman, and I was like, we're moving into a house, nice backyard, I'm getting a dog. So I went down to the shelter, the OC Animal Shelter in Anaheim, or Santa Ana, and I did not intend to get Maisie. There's a puppy there that I had my eye on. And they have this whole thing where it's like they're only adoptable, and you have to watch the website to see when they're adoptable. So I saw that he was adoptable, and I went and I like camped out at like 3 a.m. and there was only one dude ahead of me in the line. I was like, yes, I'm gonna get my puppy. And then at 5 a.m., some lady drove up and she was like, goes to the guy at the front of the line, and she was like, oh, are you here for that puppy? And he was like, oh yeah, I am. And I was like, yeah.
You sat in line for 2 hours and did not talk to this guy?
It was
about what dog he was
2 o'clock in the morning.
I thought it was 3.
It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Time zone difference change. So then I was like, dang. I was just so dejected, and I was like, whatever. So I went home, got some sleep, and I went back to the shelter. And that day, I was like, I'd seen all the dogs before. I've been going there for like a week for that other dog. But then that first day, that day I came back, I was like, all right, whatever. That was Maisie's first day on the lot, if you will. And then, yeah, then she, I asked for like a little, like the one-on-one in the little cage. And then she did some sniffing around, and she like came right up to me and just put a paw on my knee. And I was like, all right, I'll take her. And then
Well played, Maisie.
And I paid less than $200 for her. She's cost way more than that since. she famously did not want to leave the shelter, which she seems to forget was a county kill shelter.
Yes.
But she got out of her harness and she's running up and down the aisles, and the dogs are barking, and the employees are like, huh, dogs are usually like excited to get out of here. And that was the only moment that I was like, what have I done? But she literally was fine after we got up and into the car. She was like, all right, where are we going? I was like,
and just a puppy at the time?
She was one. She was about this size, but she was definitely a puppy. She was definitely a menace for like 2 more years. She famously bit off all the sprinkler heads in my backyard.
Oh my gosh, how funny.
And they would shoot 30 feet in the air, and we'd worship them like deities.
Yeah, we had one called Old Faithful, and it would go off at 3:55 a.m., and we would, I think at least the three of us.
I joined for one, because it was, you guys were all doing the show, and you guys were meeting up after rehearsals, and I wasn't a part of it yet.
So at least the three of us would meet up around this bonfire. And then at 3:55 in the morning, Maisie's sprinkler, she chewed off. And we were all, you know, probably
inebriated
with something, and we would just stare at it and like cry.
Then we'd put on the "O Come All Ye Faithful" by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah, so she kind of respond, and those were like the super early days of the band where before Matt had joined us. So Maisie's kind of responsible for a lot of the early bonding moments of the band.
Yeah, she was great. She was a college dog. She did the last 2 years of college with me, and then I married into the other dog. My girlfriend at the time, who then became wife, back in I think weeks before the pandemic hit, adopted Archer, and he's got his issues, and he has a bit more of a troubled past. Maisie has not known a single day of hardship in her life, despite what she tries to tell you, but she's pampered. Whatever, I don't know what happened in Archer's first year of life, but apparently 6 years of being spoiled since has not reversed it.
Why? What are his personality traits that he kind of shows that are not cool?
So he's just very anxious. He's like Maisie's very scared, but the way she acts when she's scared is she's just like, I'm gonna avoid that. So you know, I'll keep that over there. Whereas Archer is very much the opposite, where like, I'm scared of that, so I'm gonna So he'll like lurch at bikes and skateboards he doesn't like. It's weirdly selective about people. He likes women better than men. I'll start there. It's this unknowable vibe that he has. Like you either pass the test or you don't. Yeah. And you can put in the work. If you want to become Archer's friend, we literally have to invite people over. We go, sit on the couch, don't look at him, don't think about him, don't do anything. He comes out in a muzzle, and then he's like just sniffing around and like, okay. And then eventually you do some theatrical, like, hi friend. Oh, Maisie, look at this friend. And then eventually he'll like approach you and like sniff. And then once he gets the tails wagging and stuff, once you're in, so it's like it's an hour long process to pass his vetting.
Pass his vibe check.
Exactly. His vibe check.
Yeah.
But once you're in, you're in the fold.
That's interesting, because I heard that once before, where, you know, when the dog comes in, it's like, ignore the dog. Yeah. You know, it's so funny to hear that.
Yeah, because people love, because he's so cute. He's a pit bull chihuahua mix, so he's like a tiny pit bull. And like this morning we were hiking and he's wearing this vest and he looks so cute, and of course people want to go, oh hi, and they reach down, and of course they're wearing masks and whatnot or whatever, and he's just like, ah! It's not like it.
I saw on their Instagram pages, they each have one, which they neither one have updated in 2 years. So
I know it.
Let's get on that.
Bring it up with modern life.
Archer was described as not into squirrels.
I lecture him every day on squirrels. They run across the top of the fence in our backyard, and he sits on the patio and he'll wait and he'll run at the fence full speed. And then he like American Ninja Warriors up the wall. And I'm like, dude. And of course it's the oldest fence ever erected. So it's like, it's wobbly. And I'm like, one of these days he's just going to bust right through it. Yeah, it's going to be a whole thing.
And then Maisie's social media describes her as enjoys peanut butter, which a lot of dogs do, but collecting avocados. Is that just a...
Yes.
Is that a nestling thing or whatever you call it?
I don't know what it is, but back at the old house that we adopted her into, we had an avocado tree in the backyard, and every morning she would go out there and she would take an avocado off the tree and she'd eat a little bit. Now, for context, the skin of an avocado is poisonous to dogs, but Maisie never cared. But every day I'd have to rip an avocado out of her jaw and throw it up on the roof. And then one day when we were like in the process of moving out, I just like got on the ladder and like checked the roof, and it's just like scattered with avocado. It's so funny.
Breaking Bad with the pizza.
Yeah, Maisie's an avocado dog.
Okay. Well, let's try to draw the band in. You guys have a new single coming out February 16th. It is February 10th, and we are now talking to the general public on February 20th. So how do you think the single's doing in 4 days? At 4 days out there?
Well, it is just such an honor that this is the number one song ever recorded by any artist ever.
Number one across every chart ever conceived.
Yeah, it's just crazy to be both number one in not just the Billboard, but also alternative rock and hip hop and country. Just like, it's It's also a real honor that because of the success of this song, we've been replaced. We have replaced every single set at Coachella.
They went back in time to the Grammys and gave every Grammy to us.
Jump starting the Lost Eras tour.
Yeah. Here on February 20th, I just wanted to thank everyone for the 4 days of incredible success. I've moved into 4 different mansions in the Hollywood Hills.
One per day since the song.
Have you heard the song? Did Hope send it?
Well, I heard the clips on. Well, for one, I did a terrible job of introducing the song because it's the title is "Should We Get a Dog," which
This is
the show to premiere that song on. I heard the clips on your social media. It's very catchy. And I need to ask, what was the inspiration behind it?
So my partner Amanda, who does all of our like artwork and stuff, she's very integral to the group. And we have wanted to get a dog for so long. We both grew up with dogs, but like the second we were like, oh, I think maybe we could probably get a dog now, the band started actually doing pretty darn well. Next thing you know, we're actually on tour. And the timeline of which we were going to get a dog kind of coincided with when the tour ended up getting scheduled. So we decided to just like kind of keep pushing it. And we're still thinking about it, but the challenge is literally like now we're doing 2 tours. We have this record and we both work from home. But, you know, you can't work from home when you're a touring musician. So the song's kind of fun because, I mean, at the end of the day, the song is, it's a love song for her, first and foremost. The dog element is kind of like the thing on top, but the subtext is obviously it's a love song. But what's kind of funny is there's a problem here, which is, okay, should we get a dog? Well, I don't know. We have so much traveling to do. So in the first chorus, it's talking about how if we get one dog, we're gonna get 2 first and foremost. That's how it always happens.
Yep.
How
can't
it always
confirm.
Happens. Yep. And there's no one. Okay, we can get the dogs. We can just get them. We can get 2 dogs. But when we're gone, who's gonna watch them? And so the second chorus ends with, oh, well, we can just drop them off with your mom. So perfect. And then on the third chorus, it comes around. It's like, okay, well, if we drop the dogs off with your mom, there's a 50-50 chance you might get disowned. Okay, here's our dog's mom. Goodbye. So the ultimate solution is the ideal solution in my mind, which is you take the dogs on the road with you. How fun would that be? I know a lot of musicians who do that, but they're far more... I think they have a lot more resources financially otherwise than we would for such a thing. Because when you cram, you know, 4 sweaty guys and a couple team members into some vans and a truck, making room for a dog is kind of difficult.
Let alone 2.
Yeah.
Strap to the roof.
But it's funny that the song has a solution, yet the original problem that I had, which is, okay, should I get a dog? I don't really know. I don't really know what I still have that problem despite writing this song with a solution in it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, that song's exactly what this podcast is all about. I mean, I ask every artist, do you take your dog on the road? If you don't take it on the road, who watches it when you're on the road? You know, who's responsible for it? It's very funny. Would you guys license it to me for, you know, a few thousand?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Deal.
So in the, you know, what you guys have pinned up there to promote your single, Should We Get a Dog? There was the artwork of the dog's nose. Is that Amanda's artwork?
Yes. Yep. That's Amanda's artwork.
I loved it. Very cool. And inside you each have a photo with a dog. So let's go back to like your history of dogs, to which I believe Emerson looked like you had a pit mix. Alan, you're kissing a retriever, it looks like. Matt had a Rottweiler and Casey had Archer. But let's go into that. Who had what in those photos?
Sure. I mean, yeah, that was my childhood dog, Henry. I'm like, I know everyone feels this way about their pet, especially their childhood pet, but I'm like, Henry, top 5 dogs of all time. That is just what it is. But yeah, he was a Rhodesian mix with some pit bull in there. And he also had just enough Great Dane for him to catch the heart disease that they get at like 7 years old. So I lost him a little earlier than I would have liked to, but yeah, he was my best friend, man. I was an only kid. Well, I have older siblings from my parents' previous marriages, but they were all out of the house by the time I was forming conscious memories. So he was basically just like my like compatriot in the house. It was the 2 of us when I was a kid.
How old were you when he passed away?
I must have been like maybe like 10. I might have been like 10.
Was that a profound experience, or did your parents kind of shy you away from it? Or
well, my parents, I like to describe them as, like, if you've ever seen Big Mouth, Nick Kroll's character, his parents in that show, that's my folks. They don't shy away from any topics. They do not. Everything was communicated to me from an early age, and all emotions were discussed and looked at and all that. But like, yeah, when we had to, because we it was just one day where, like, my dad just, like, got the little scoop of kibble that would always call him into you just hear it and he'd come running into the kitchen literally every morning. And it was just the one morning where he did that and Henry didn't move, and we're like, oh god. And he went over and he was still just lying there, and he just didn't want to get up or do anything. Yeah, he was just lying there dead now. He just didn't want to get up or move, and we were like, oh no. And so we took him to the vet, and then they did the whole thing where they looked at him and figured out that there was this whole thing with his heart and all this stuff, and ultimately we had to make the decision to put him down. But yeah, I remember just, like, me and my dad in the car afterwards, just both of us just crying in the car. Oh. Me and my dad. But it was nice to be able to like express that and let that out. I mean, like, my parents are both older, and I only had like one surviving grandparent by the time I was born, and he died when I was like 7, and I didn't really have much of a relationship with him. That was my first experience with like death, but right. I didn't really have that close relationship with him. So when Henry died, it was like my first real, like, oh, this is what loss and grief feels like, you know?
Especially as a kid, when you don't have like a family member to like have that frame of reference, you're like, oh.
Yeah,
so world.
Yeah, that was definitely formative. But like, no matter what, I'm like, he was, God, he was the best dog. I'm so sorry. Can I swear?
you can. I bark it out, but it's fine.
Okay.
That's true. Which game?
But yeah, no, Henry was the best, man.
And Alan, who are you kissing?
So that's Ringo. He's the third. I'm sorry. He's the fourth family dog. So when I was born, we had two family dogs. There was Simon and Molly was like the dumbest beagle ever, but she was a queen. And then there was Simon, who is I think some sort of like Shih Tzu thing. I don't know. He was, poor guy, was like really inbred,
little crusty white dog.
Yeah, and
inbred.
And he ended up. That was like a similar thing where it was like an early experience of a dog passing away, but there's kind of a funny morbid story about the aftermath of that, which was that, so he had, Simon, our first dog, had passed away in the middle of the night. My dad had taken him to the vet because he could tell, like, in the middle of the night that Simon wasn't doing well, took him to the vet, and it was like a big tumor that was like growing so fast, and he just didn't survive the night. So my dad comes home, and my mom and him have a discussion, and he says, let's tell the kids, you know, when they come back from school tomorrow. And she did not remember that. She for some reason thought, let's tell the kids before they go to school tomorrow. So I wake up for breakfast, and she's like, just so you know, Alan, Simon died last night. All right, here you go.
On school, test.
So she tells my sister Abby, and she tells my brother Sam, my little brother. Now Sam was still in preschool at the time. So Abby and I are just bawling, walking to the bus stop. And then one of the neighbor's moms was there, and she sees us crying, and she's like, Alan, Abby, what's wrong? And we're like, Sam died. She thought we said Sam died. Sam died last night. And she's like, why are you getting on the bus?
Your mom is
mom's like, go to school.
Your brother's so, dead. Go to school.
Yeah. But, so, well, everything that you said about losing a dog, it's like, you know, that stuff about like loss from an early age. That's true. We got, so we had a beagle, and she passed when she was 17. She lived a long time. Yeah.
That's a good run.
Yeah. And I was in high school, and it was tough, but you know, it's like, you learn a lot from those experiences, and they, oddly enough, they help you prepare in a way for the big ones, you know, the people in your lives, you know, that mean a lot. Then there was Hershey. She was a chocolate lab. She was a great dog. And then there's Ringo. So the dog that's absolutely macking on me in that video. He is. So they told us he was a golden. And then they told us later, oh, well, yeah, he's a golden and a dachshund.
Ah, it's funny. He like, had the close-up of that picture. He did look a little dachshund-like.
Yeah, so they failed to mention that originally, which was hilarious. Yeah.
Casey, I'm going to skip you because we kind of got the gist of Archer. And Matt, who's is it a Rottie, a little Rottie you're sleeping with?
A little Rottweiler, yeah. I love Rottweilers. My family has had a couple Rottweilers as I was growing up, but that one in particular is the very first. The OG, you might say. His name was Hoss.
Hoss, nice.
We loved Hoss. He was basically from a puppy, always kind of like around me. He kind of like just always wanted to be around me, and he kind of took pride in protecting me of sorts. Or like if anyone like was being mean to me, he'd like start stepping forward and just stand.
I love that.
Like be a very intimidating presence, and until they like notice, if they did anything else, he would step closer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know, did your parents kind of rely on the dog as well to kind of watch over you? You know, yeah. Did they see it as a guard dog?
In a lot of ways, not so much in a guard dog of like, oh, we're just going to have him, you know, like always be outside. But in the sense of like, they knew how much he had really latched onto me. Mm-hmm. And so they could trust. I mean, they always had windows open, the door open, like just the screen door so they can keep an ear out. But when it came to me playing outside, they could trust that if he was out there, that nothing would ever come of harm to me.
I love that. Love that. All right, the Zoomies. So five quick questions. First question, let's start with Casey for these since he's got the dogs, but everyone can answer. And the first question is, do you kiss your dogs on the mouth? Alan, I know you
no.
do.
Yeah, I do.
Casey, no.
Not, no.
I kiss them on the head, but come on. Forehead kisses. Yeah.
Okay.
Foul.
Alan gets a point because that was the correct answer.
A point? That gets you a point?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, question two, if you can give your dogs a theme song, what would it be? Whether it's a popular song or a song you create for them.
For my dog, for Henry, when I was a kid, it was the from like the old Looney Tunes cartoons. It's just it's just the sound of how he walked.
I can't believe this, but I can sing to you every single theme song for Simon, Molly, Hershey, and Ringo. Here we go. This is an EP coming up.
We're ready.
So for Simon, it was he's a good actor with the Bowie, and he likes to play with Dan.
What?
So my mom, like, he's a good little boy, and he liked to play with his toys, and it turned into a whole song.
No, but Alan, like, she'll just, like, be, like, doing something around the house and just singing to herself and making up songs, and, like, we all know them.
This is what they all are. This is all my mom, by the way. So he's what's her good. Molly's. Molly's was kind of Weird Al-esque because it's a parody. It's, Molly, 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 Molly! Hershey's was the dumbest for sure. It was just, oh Hershey, oh hey, oh Hershey, oh hey. Oh hey. And then Ringo's is Ringo dee Ringo dee Ringo. That's another mom. That's another Flinda classic. So all right, I kissed dogs on the mouth.
That's, they all have
that's been the best ball. Answer I've got for that question, easily.
I don't think I have one for Maisie or Archer, but there's a dog. It's my boss's dog at work. He's a 15-year-old pug. He's a 15-year-old pug, can't see or fucking breathe or hear or anything. We love him. But his name's Tiberius. His name's Tiberius.
Incredible
and
name.
I don't know why. But I always, whenever I see him, I have to sing his name in the tune of the Activia yogurt jingle. So every time I see him, I go, Tiberius! And I finally had a coworker call me out, and she goes, is that the Activity, she goes, is that the Jamie Lee Curtis song? I was like, that's the Jamie Lee Curtis Activia commercial, yeah.
And Matt, what about you?
Yeah, Hoss, I like to imagine, this is much more in retrospect, because I grew up with this series, but there's this song in the One Piece anime. It's all brass, and it usually happens when there's an intimidating figure approaching or when the main characters are about to step up against opposition, you know, evil. But it's all brass driven and powerful. It's bum, 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 dun,
So that's just awesome. He's a powerful dog.
But I love it. I love that you have that in your head to attach to him. That's great.
All the anime stands watching right now are like, I know that.
Boss the anime boss.
All right. Question four is, do you give the dogs a dog voice, or do you use a voice for the dogs?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear them.
My dad would always look at him and go, that's Henry is what is being said phonetically there.
So you're throwing your dad under the bus for that.
My dog voice is
There's this great video of when it was Maisie's birthday and Casey threw a surprise birthday for Maisie and he put a GoPro on her so that when she came out she'd be like and running up to all the people and be filming it, and when she goes up to Alan's just like are you a dog? Are you a dog?
I love asking animals
if they are that animal. My wife and I give Archer more of a voice than anything because he's our misunderstood boy, you know. He has such pure intentions, you know.
Right.
He's just so troubled, but he is so sweet. So we always just like portray him as this like, it's like, I don't want to go outside because there's the squirrels out there and the squirrels are mean. I'm camping the house with the squirrels.
Speaking of my mom.
I was like, huh? Well, get her on. Let's have her sing a couple of verses.
We're going to be here for another 3 hours.
I can send her the Zoom link right now. She will be on.
Let's see. I guess Haas then, right?
Or any dog.
Well, at least Haas, when I was a kid, you know, we'd be, you know, little. So I would go, I'm Haas, you know, as a kid. Just giving him like a big, like, protector voice. But whenever I see any dog anywhere, my gut reaction, and it's all dogs, it's every single one of them, will always be Dougie. Almost like Dougie, but Dougie.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen Doug Days on Disney Plus?
Let me admit your mom first.
Oh my God! Did she actually?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh wait, there she goes.
Oh, she's connected.
We're on a podcast.
Mom, can you hear me? Mom, come on, mom. Linda. Don't let your age show
muted?
Now.
Mom, your mom is probably my age, by the way.
God.
Hello. Yeah.
Hi.
Okay. Here's
Can you hear us?
So this is Tim. He's doing a podcast called Rocker Dogs. So I was telling him about our theme songs that we gave to Simon, Molly, Hershey, and Ringo, but you wrote all of them. So I just wanted to see if you could perform them.
Wait, have you performed them yet?
I did. But I mean, it's like a copy of a copy. I mean, it's like looking at the, you know.
It's a cover song.
We want the corroboration.
Yeah, we want the original. OG. We want the original Greek sculpture. We don't want that Renaissance copy.
Okay, did you do Simon?
Well, which dog do you want first?
Did you do Simon?
Chronological order. Simon, Molly, Hershey, and I'm so sorry, Tim. This is probably...
No, this is gold. This is gold.
Okay, yeah. So this one is our very first dog. It was Simon. He was a good dog. And so this was his song. Ready?
He's a good up. Go with the Bowie. And he likes to play with Towie. He's a good up.
Go with the we and he likes to play with Towie.
Yeah.
I love that you both know it.
It is ingrained into me as Mozart.
That's funny.
Then there was Molly. Molly's next. She was a rescue.
Yeah, she was the dumbest dog we've ever had. She was so stupid.
I think
but
your son
said
that.
She was very lovable. She was very lovable.
Yep.
So her song was a take on the song Money.
All right, one, two, three. Molly.
Molly. That's it. That was it.
That's all she
got. You gotta give them Hershey's Banger, which I think I helped co-write this one.
Actually, I think you might have wrote that one.
Yeah, Alan. Yeah. You
gotta sing along with that one.
You definitely should be getting royalties on that.
I already sang them all, but
Okay.
Wait, which one was Molly?
Oh,
or Hershey? Was her? Oh yeah. One, two, three, and
oh Hershey. Oh hey. Oh Hershey. Oh hey. Oh Hershey. Oh hey.
Okay. Really like the count
in
on that one.
Yeah, that's yeah. Well, you know, we take it seriously.
And then Ringo's, I believe, has been cemented.
Yeah. Ringo, diddle doo doo, Ringo, diddle doo doo, Ringo.
Well, but there's an alternate version.
Oh, this is Flinda's version dropping.
Yeah, hold
on. Oh, Ringo here. So Ringo. Because no, yeah. Ringo is a dachshund lab mix,
and so he's a real jerk.
So he got the lab head and dachshund body and personality.
Mm. Yeah, funny.
Sorry.
So,
and I'm sorry, I didn't get the names. Linda came up. The name Linda. What's your dad's name?
Dad.
Dad. I know you're a musician as well, correct?
That's correct. Yes. Been playing since I don't know. I was 14 years old. I'm sort of semi-retired at this point, but I love it and I enjoy it, and I'm glad, so happy to see Alan and his friends doing so well.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Dad. Yeah.
They're lucky boys.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Alan probably has more talent in his little finger than I would ever hope to have. So I'm glad. I'm really happy for him, and we're really proud of him. And Matt and Casey and Emerson as well.
Yeah, they're gonna go far. Well, thank you for joining us. This is it's funny. There's a lot of guests I pursue that I sometimes want their spouses involved, because I know their spouses probably take care of the dogs more than the musicians do, because they're always on the road. So it's nice to, you know, have parents join us. So
thank you. Are very responsible for all of those banger songs, and it was just too good of an opportunity when Mom called me just now to not get her on.
Oh, for sure. And I got one last question. We got one last question. We can all answer it if you like. But the very last question I ask everybody is just, is there's a dog organization or a service that you want to give a shout out to? And that could be like the rescue you went to, or that could be a trainer, a dog walker, anything you want.
I'll say my sister-in-law, Allie Santoro, she's, because my wife takes care of the dogs when we're on the road, but then my wife also makes a point to come out and see us while we're on the road for a little bit. And my sister-in-law, whom we live with at this moment, she's like a dog trainer, dog boarder as well.
Oh, awesome.
But she's right here in LA. She does a lot of, one-on-one, like, consultations with the dog. She's great. That she had like a super, super reactive dog back when I first met her, and that kind of reshaped her whole, like, just like she really got into the whole dog training thing. Now she does it on the side, and she trained both of our dogs, and they were menaces, and now they're not. And so I believe the company name she uses is Fetching Zen.
Okay.
And, well, if you pay her to fix your dog, then I get to keep living in my house, because we all live together at this time.
My actual parents are here, so I can ask them, what was the organization we got Hershey from?
Well, I don't remember the rescue company, but I can give a shout out to where we got Ringo. That was safarianimalrescue.org, Safari Rescue out of Westland, Michigan. Okay. And that is just a top-notch organization. They just really do good work.
Awesome. Good to hear about it. Thank you. Well, fellas and parents, thank you so much for making this such a memorable episode.
Of course.
Looking forward to putting it out. Please help me spread the word. And boys, good luck. Is there any touring in 2024? Will you make it to the East Coast?
Looks like it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Potentially, there'll be a spring tour west of the Mississippi. I believe it'll be called the Toxhards Tour of the Great American West, where we'll go up the West Coast. We'll go through like Yellowstone, all this stuff, and then we'll go all the way to Denver, down to Texas, and all the way back. That's in the spring. In the fall, we're hitting the Midwest, we're hitting the East Coast, and we're hitting the South. So it's going to be a crazy, crazy year on top of an album that we should probably get back to recording here soon.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking the time out from recording and giving us this entertaining conversation. So best of luck in 2024, and hopefully we'll see you in my neck of the woods.
Absolutely. We'll get you on stage. We'll do the podcast live.
Yes. I want to wear the Angus. Can the Angus suit be worn by guests?
Yes, absolutely. We have
if you don't mind the stash.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Rock and roll. Bye, guys.
Thanks, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.